Good afternoon. This is Betty Bronner. I'm recording for Jewish Community Center Family History Project, and I have the pleasure this afternoon of presenting Mr. Milton Russman, who is kind enough to give us some of his recollections. Milton, would you tell us your name and your address and your phone number if you care to?
Milton Russman, reside at 3304 Furman Boulevard, and our home phone number is 458-1061.
Thank you. And could you begin to tell us about your family and how they first came, the original people who came to Louisville?
Happy to. Actually, I'm from a divided family. My father's family has been in Louisville since the early 1870s, and according to the story that's been handed down in the family, my grandfather was brought to this child as an infant in his mother's arms with a stepfather. We know nothing about his father except that his name was Chaim. He and my grandmother married evidently very, very young. They had 10 children before he died, and he died at the age of 35 in 1907, leaving her a widow for some 25, 30 years, and she reared all 10 children. And we were told that she even lost a child in miscarriage along the way. The story goes that as far as naming goes, every one of the 10 children who married and had a son, the firstborn son, was named for my grandfather, except me. I'm the exception to the cause. I was named for the great, for the stepfather.
I see.
A man who was extremely observant, and the story goes he came to my father in a dream, and he said he had no name, and he was ashamed, and he wanted a name. And so when at my birth, I was given the name for him, Mordechai.
That's beautiful.
My mother came to this country after the First World War. She was on the losing side. She was on the Austro-Hungarian War, and always told us the story that she really wanted to go to Palestine with the Belu movement from Russia. And her mother just said, no way. She said, you can't go to Palestine. That's where the Turks are. And they were a fearful people. So my mother said, well, if I can't go to Palestine, then I'm going to go to the United States. And my grandmother thought that was the lesser of two evils, and she gave her permission for her to come. So that's how we got here. So from my father's side, I guess you would call us a third or fourth generation. And from my mother's side, first generation.
Could you please tell us any stories of early Jewish life in Louisville, or stories about your grandparents or yourselves?
Well, unfortunately, I didn't know my grandparents at all. They had all died. My grandmother died when I was just 2 years old. I came from a rather observant home where the holidays, the Shabbat was observed. Although my father had to work on Shabbos in our home, we observed it to the letter of the law. And we followed all the observances. I guess really the first thing I remember that still sticks in my mind, when I was about 4.5 years old, I had a mastoid operation. And following that, I had to go to the doctor for treatment, and it seemed that we had to go on a Saturday. And because I was ill, I went on a bus, or at that time a trolley bus. So I said to my mother, how come we are riding on Shabbos? It just really bothered me. And so she said, well, when you are sick, this is permissible. We have to go to the doctor. That's my first impression of being Jewish and breaking a Jewish law.
And probably wondered what would happen to
you.
Yeah,
well, a little bit afraid. Yeah, a little bit on that side, too. Yeah.
That's right. And how was it growing up in Louisville? Where did you live?
Well, we lived downtown. Of course, all the Jewish people did.
Yes.
We lived on Chestnut Street. I went to George W. Morris School. That was at Gray and Chestnut. And when I went there, you were either Jewish or, as the other kids would say, you were Syrian. Today, they would say they are Lebanese, because after First World War, a large Arab group came that lived on Jefferson Street, Market Street, among the other Jewish people. And it was a very good relationship. And so on a Jewish holiday, half the school was absent. And on an Orthodox holiday, the other half was absent. And we had a good time. I guess we were poor, but nobody ever told us we were poor. So it didn't make any difference to us. We had books in our home. We would listen, of course, to the radio. The opera was a favorite of ours to listen to. And then Let's Pretend, if you may remember that radio
program. I do remember that.
That was, my sister and I would wait for Let's Pretend. But we had a good time. We had a happy life.
And about early childhood friends, are there any people today that connect with that time?
My very best friend who lived across the street, Macy Abrams, and I went all the way through high school. We didn't separate until World War II. He went into the Navy. I went into the Army. He now lives in San Diego, California. He was just here a couple months ago for a bar mitzvah in his family. We renewed old stories, and we are still the best of friends.
It's wonderful when those relationships last through life. And could you tell us something about the neighborhood, about the merchants?
The neighborhood I grew up in was really primarily a Catholic neighborhood. We were in the middle of three Catholic churches, but got along beautifully with our neighbors. Let me go back to when I was ill. At that time, the doctor said I was so run down that I needed to eat bacon. And my mother said, well, doctor, there's no way we can have bacon in the house. And one of our Catholic neighbors heard about this and said, my goodness, just send Melty up, and that's what they would call me, Melty, to my home every day, and we'll give him his bacon sandwich. And my mother says I did this for about a week, and then I said, I'm not going back anymore, and I would not go back for the bacon sandwich. I'm sure there was a guilt feeling in there.
Sure.
that was it. The merchants, we all, of course, had the corner grocery stores. There was an ice man who would bring us ice, and there were two ice men that would deliver ice. One was a Mr. Harris, a Jewish ice man, and one was non-Jewish. And my mother said, well, we have to buy from Mr. Harris because he needs the help. And next door to us lived a Mr. Harry Davis, who was a bread man, who delivered his bread in the horse and buggy. And in the afternoon, everybody would come and help Mr. Davis put his cart back into the stable that was off of the alley with his horse. And all the kids did this. On our same block, at this time lived a, what we would now call an Afro-American. At that time, we called her a colored lady. And all the kids would go to her house to help her decorate her Christmas tree.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And we had a wonderful time. We never felt anything about it. All the Jewish kids would go to her house to help her decorate her Christmas tree.
That's very nice. It was a sharing.
Yeah.
And an understanding of
each other's religion. A nice relationship. Yeah.
Do you remember anything about someone's wedding or some special time in that period?
I do remember one thing. I guess not a wedding, unfortunately, it's a funeral. When Rabbi Zarchiel was shown passed away, who was the chief rabbi of Louisville, we lived on the 600 block of Chestnut. He lived on the 500 block, and I can recall my mother saying for me to stay on the sidewalk that she had to go up to the next block because it was the rabbi's funeral. And I remember seeing this, what I thought were just hundreds and hundreds of people who were following his cortege up Chestnut Street to the Hebrew school, which is where they were going to go. They passed the Hebrew school on the way to the cemetery.
And they were walking.
And they were walking.
Mm-hmm.
They were walking.
Well, that's really an interesting vignette.
Yes, that I do recall.
Uh-huh. And how was your family involved in religious or in the civic area or in the community affairs or the temple?
Not too much. They were a congregants, they were attendees to the services, hard workers who had to work for everything we got, and my dad had to be in the store, and as he would say, he didn't have time for these other things. We had to go to Hebrew school, to Sunday school, we had to go to shul every Shabbos, and we had to be able to say we had gone when he would ask us this. But he himself was a very quiet, unassuming man, hard worker, and he let the others become the officers.
I think that says a lot.
Well,
he raised his family.
We were very proud of him.
That's right. And was the Jewish Community Center of that day part of your life?
No, unfortunately it wasn't, because we could not afford membership and my mother would not let us go. We could not.
As many other people.
Yeah.
If you didn't belong, then you just didn't.
We just didn't go.
And the world wars, how did they affect you?
Well, World War II affected me because I was drafted. I was the second group of 18-year-olds to be drafted in August, and early September was Rosh Hashanah, and you had one homesick kid on your hands in the Army. But my parents would come to visit me, and we stayed in contact. So it had a, the other part of it was that my mother's family that had remained in Europe, her sister and her brothers and their children, were all victims of the Shoah. Mm. The last letter we got from them was in 1939, and we've just recently, in the past 2 years, found a cousin living in Sweden, the only survivor of my mother's family.
How did you come to find that person?
Quite by accident. I had gone to a genealogical meeting, and there was a woman there from the Jewish Agency in Israel, and I told her the story about the family. And she said, well, let me put the names on the Israeli radio and we'll see if we get any response. And she did, and got a response from some people who live in Haifa. They called us long distance and said, well, we are distant cousins, but we know where your real cousin is. He lives in Malmo, Sweden, and he has been to Israel to visit them. These are all people from the same shtetl where my mother came from.
That is really interesting.
Yeah.
We all have lots of connections that we don't know about, I'm sure. And the Israeli independence or the Israeli wars?
Oh, yes. We have always been active Zionists. Now, that we belong to Young Judea. My sister was something with Hadassah. It was a young group of Hadassah girls. My mother was active in Hadassah. My wife and I are both life members of our respective groups. We are dyed-in-the-wool Zionists all the way, all the way.
That's wonderful. And what memories do you have that you consider wonderful Jewish events in the way of festivals or family traditions, or are there any stories from that day?
Of course, the usual ones. You know, everybody remembers this, the family seders. I do recall the soldiers coming from Fort Knox for the various holidays. But there is one thing that stands out. You know, in 1937, we had this terrible flood, and everybody living downtown had to evacuate, and we finally were taken to the Highlands, where the rich Jewish people lived, as we had been told so many times. And there was no kosher meat for the Jewish population at that time. And so we went for several weeks without any kosher meat and eggs and that type of thing. And finally, the rabbi, who was a rabbi not from Lubbock, the city rabbi, arranged for meat to be brought in, kosher meat, from Chicago. And all the people had to go to Maryland off of Bardstown Road where the fire station is. I cannot recall who lived in the house, but as you go onto Maryland, the first house behind the fire station is where people would pick up their kosher meat. And that was sausages primarily.
Right. That's really very interesting, because of course that would be a big problem.
Oh, it was a big problem.
In those times.
So, but the Jewish community of other Jewish communities elsewhere in the United States did come to assist us, and I do remember this, and very grateful to those people.
That's wonderful, because then it's a feeling of reaching out among people,
right,
even at that time. And of course, we all think about the difference in prices and going to a movie. Is there anything startling that you can report?
Not really. Not too. The usual Sunday afternoon, we would go, and it would cost a nickel, but we would go.
To the movie?
To the movie. To the neighborhood movies.
Yes.
To the famous Flash Garden cereals. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I loved it.
That we went to. Yeah, we would go.
That's wonderful. And as far as your family then growing up, could you tell us the names and of your family, your
okay,
siblings?
Presently I have a sister living, Dorothy Rosenblatt, and I have brothers who are twins. One's a Dr. Raymond, who's a dentist here, and the other is Cheryl, who's an assistant dean at Speed School. They are married, have families. I guess I better rush in here and say I have two sons.
Please.
One lives in New York, and the other lives in Boston, and Mark, who lives in Boston, has the two most beautiful grandchildren in the world, a boy and a girl, Haley and Adam.
I'm sure.
They surpass all other grandchildren.
Of course.
But other than that, we're a normal family.
That's wonderful.
Milton, I thank you so very much for your time. You've given us wonderful information, and I appreciate your sharing your time with us.
It's been a pleasure to be with you. You're doing a terrific job.
Thank you
for asking me.
Thank you.